Stephanie Miller, you know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Within hours, 15 British sailors and Marines in Iran should be boarding a plane for London. The British ambassador has met with them, confirming their good health in advance of going home. Prime Minister Tony Blair.
To the Iranian people, I would simply say this. We bear you no ill will.
Iran's president called the release his Easter gift to Britain. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, in his rambling speech, also said, if President Bush behaves and changes his ways, Iran might get along better with the U.S. Terrorism expert Dr. Neil Livingston says the issues between Iran and the U.S. are deep, and they're real.
We still have many issues with Iran, not the least of which is their nuclear weapons program, but also their funding of terrorism around the world, their funding of Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad and Hamas.
Hearing you might have breast cancer would be bad enough. Getting a biopsy you didn't really need because the computer complicated more than it helped would make you go,
9 years after the FDA approved the use of computers to help read mammograms, a large New England Journal of Medicine study warns the process doesn't live up to its promise.
We did not find clear evidence that this technology was associated with an increase in breast cancer detection.
Not only that, University of California researcher Dr. Joshua Fenton says 30% more women were told they had breast cancer when they didn't, creating needless worry, biopsies, and costs. Harry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
See that politician making an end run around Congress? That would be the president.
A week after withdrawing the nomination of friend and supporter Sam Fox to be ambassador to Belgium, President Bush circumvented Senate opposition and put him in the job by recess appointment. Fox was criticized by Democrats for contributing $50,000 to that group that questioned whether Senator John Kerry deserved the medals he won for service in Vietnam. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee was set to reject the nomination when the White House pulled it. Now Fox will have the job through the end of the administration. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president at Fort Irwin, California.
Snowing to beat the band in the upper Midwest, and just when people were really, really ready for springtime.
It's not a disaster. It's an inconvenience is really what you'd call it in the best, but it's also a pain in the butt.
Marquette, Michigan Mayor Tom Tourville. When William Hart's daughter forgot to latch the cockatoo's cage and Geronimo got out in Porter, Texas, he went looking. Hart found the bird 60 feet up in a lonesome pine tree, but once he'd climbed up there, he realized he couldn't get down, one hand holding the bird. One for climbing.
It's my companion, my friend, my pet, you name it. It's a lot of... I mean, you just don't understand this baby. He sleeps with every night. He's potty trained.
The Coast Guard had to winch a rescuer down to pluck the man and his bird out of the tree. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 20 points. NASDAQ up 8. Oil at $64.38 a barrel, down 26 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Remember the so-called American Taliban, John Walker Lind, doing 20 years in prison? Now that Aussie David Hicks has gotten, by comparison, a wrist slap, Lind's family's asking for a break.
They've tried to go public before, and each time someone with similar facts, you know, emerges and gets a better deal than John Walker Lind, John Walker Lind's family and his lawyers say, hey, there's a foul here, there's an injustice. They're right. The problem is there's very little now that they can do about it.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. It is legal to burn the American flag, but it is not legal to burn someone else's without permission. That's vandalism, destruction of private property, and arson. Three Yale University students, one an American born in Pakistan, face charges, according to police, for burning the U.S. flag they saw flying outside a home in New Haven, Connecticut, near the campus. The other two students were from Greece and Britain. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
We're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Mmm.
And get this. After it's opened, keeps wine fresh for 6 weeks.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The Premium Wine Cask from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyard, San Luis Obispo, California.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We've passed it 3 times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
What do you say we do it?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm delighted you've tuned our way. We're here for the next 3 hours, and if you possibly can, I'd be much obliged if you can listen to every minute. And if not, I certainly understand. But we got a lot to talk about, a lot of great people to talk with, including our loyal listeners. You're always invited to join in this conversation. We pay for the call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got that by now? 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com or humblehost at peterbcollins.com. If you disagree with me, send it to loudmouth at peterbcollins.com. Coming up in about a half an hour, Brent Budowski. He was a Capitol Hill staffer to Senator Lloyd Benson and others. And he's posted an interesting item today, arguing in favor of the strategies being used by Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi to pressure the White House. And certainly, if you looked at the president's news conference yesterday, he's feeling the pressure. And so we're going to get a look at that strategy from Brent Budowski. That's about a half hour from now. Next hour, Mike Lux will join us. He's an activist in Washington, D.C., who runs a shop called American Family Voices. Mike was in the Clinton administration and came out, and he specializes in netroots, grassroots, and analysis, and he'll be joining us next hour. We're going to talk about a number of issues, including the money race for the presidential primary and the early primaries, including California's, which will give more than New Hampshire and Iowa a shot at picking the next presidential nominees. Also on today's program, retired United States Senator James Aberesk. He served in the Senate in the 1970s from South Dakota. He was the first Arab American in the Senate, and he's going to join us to talk about Pelosi's groundbreaking trip to the Middle East, including the controversial stop in Damascus, Syria, which occurred yesterday, and we'll get his thoughts on the Democratic approach to ending the war. It may contrast with what you hear from Brent Budowski. That's all ahead here on the PBC show, and just added due to the intrepid efforts of our incredible producer, Katrina Rill. Just 6 minutes ago, she persuaded Josh Wolf to skip his nap. He is worn out from all kinds of media appearances and other adulation that he's received since he was released from the federal lockup in Pleasanton yesterday. And he has agreed to join us unless, of course, he falls asleep, in which case we will let him snooze and reschedule. But I'm delighted that he's been released, and we'll get his first-person account of what it took
to make that happen after 7.5 months in jail on a contempt citation. And as we pointed out yesterday with Gabe Myers, who was a victim of the same police brutality in that demonstration in the summer of 2005, this all began when a police car started to drive into a crowd of protesters. And then the San Francisco DA somehow permitted this to become a federal case. And I don't believe it was federal in any way, shape, or form. But that was the end run they used to lock up Josh Wolf because, as we learned in the Scooter Libby trial, there is no federal protection for journalists. There are state laws. There's a California Shield law. And they couldn't have done the same thing to Josh Wolf under California law that they did under federal law. So we'll talk about that overreach by our neo-fascist government and get the, as we said, the first-person account of the newly freed Josh Wolf. He's been out just about 24 hours now, and he'll be joining us 2 hours away, 5 o'clock Pacific time, to kick off the Free Speech Zone, appropriately enough, right here on the PBC show. Well, today we're going to start off the show in a little different mode. 39 years ago today, April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. And many of us remain highly suspicious of who's actually responsible for his death. A few years later, I was a young, long-haired talk show host working in Chicago. And I learned a lot about the counterintelligence efforts run by J. Edgar Hoover and others at the FBI in the 1960s and 1970s. And while I can't prove it, I don't believe that James Earl Ray acted alone, and I'm not even sure he's the man who pulled the trigger to kill Martin Luther King Jr. But I believe that directly or indirectly, the responsibility lies with our government. And if I had to name one individual, it would have been J. Edgar Hoover. But today, we're not going to relive the death of Martin Luther King. I'd like to take you back exactly 12 months before he died in Memphis to a powerful speech that he gave at the Riverside Church in New York City. And it was the first real public occasion where Martin Luther King Jr. took on the immoral war in Vietnam. And I'm going to play some excerpts here from the speech. We'll have to pause for a break in a few minutes, and then we'll come back and play some more for you. But I'd like you to settle back if you can. Maybe park your car somewhere, and you'll be late for your next meeting. But listen to these powerful comments and ask yourself, do we have a Martin Luther King Jr. among us today?
I come to this magnificent house of worship tonight because my conscience leaves me no other choice. I join you in this meeting because I'm in deepest agreement with the aims and work of the organization which has brought us together, clergy and laymen concerned about Vietnam. The recent statements of your executive committee are the sentiments of my own heart, and I found myself in full accord when I read its opening line. A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us in relation to Vietnam. The truth of these words is beyond doubt, but the mission to which they call us is a most difficult one. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. Nor does the human spirit move without great difficulty against all the apathy of conformist thought within one's own bosom and in the surrounding world. Moreover, when the issues at hand seem as perplexing as they often do, in the case of this dreadful conflict, we are always on the verge of being mesmerized by uncertainty. But we must move on. Some of us who have already begun to break the silence of the night have found that the calling to speak is often a vocation of agony. But we must speak. We must speak with all the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision. But we must speak. And we must rejoice as well, for surely this is the first time in our nation's history that a significant number of its religious leaders have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of a firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Perhaps a new spirit is rising among us. If it is, let us trace its movements and pray that our own inner being may be sensitive to its guidance. For we are deeply in need of a new way beyond the darkness that seems so close around us. Over the past 2 years, as I have moved to break the betrayal of my own silences and to speak from the burnings of my own heart, as I have called for radical departures from the destruction of Vietnam, many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my path. At the heart of their concerns, this query has often loomed large and loud. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. Aren't you hurting the cause of your people, they ask. And when I hear them, though I often understand the source of their concern, I'm nevertheless greatly saddened, for such questions mean that the inquirers have not really known me, my commitment or my calling. Indeed, their question suggests that they do not know the world in which they live.
And let me pause here. We'll take our break and return to hear more of this powerful speech from Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. It was delivered 40 years ago today, and just 1 year to the day before he was shot and killed in Memphis, Tennessee. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. If you just joined us, we're doing something a little different this half hour. Playing excerpts of a powerful speech delivered 40 years ago to this day. On April 4th, 1967, at the Riverside Church in New York City, the speaker is Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and this was his first real public pronouncement of his opposition to the war in Vietnam. And as you heard in the initial segments, he wrestled with the idea. He said, "Silence is betrayal, but the calling to speak leads to agony." And so this was clearly a very difficult speech for Dr. King to deliver. And as we continue here, he gets to the crux of the issue, his opposition to the war in Vietnam.
In the light of such tragic misunderstanding, I deem it of signal importance to try to state clearly, and I trust concisely, why I believe that the path from Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, the church in Montgomery, Alabama, where I began my pastorate, leads clearly to this sanctuary tonight. I come to this platform tonight to make a passionate plea to my beloved nation. This speech is not addressed to Hanoi or to the National Liberation Front. It is not addressed to China or to Russia. Nor is it an attempt to overlook the ambiguity of the total situation and the need for a collective solution to the tragedy of Vietnam. Neither is it an attempt to make North Vietnam or the National Liberation Front paragons of virtue, nor to overlook the role they must play in the successful resolution of the problem. while they both may have justifiable reasons to be suspicious of the good faith of the United States, life and history give eloquent testimony to the fact that conflicts are never resolved without trustful give and take on both sides. Tonight, however, I wish not to speak with Hanoi and the National Liberation Front, but rather to my fellow Americans. That is, at the outset, a very obvious and almost facile connection between the war in Vietnam and the struggle I and others have been waging in America. A few years ago, there was a shining moment in that struggle. It seemed as if there was a real promise of hope for the poor, both black and white, through the poverty program. There were experiments, hopes, new beginnings. Then came the build-up in Vietnam, and I watched this program broken and eviscerated, as if it was some idle political plaything of a society gone mad on war. And I knew that America would never invest the necessary funds or energies in rehabilitation of its poor so long as adventures like Vietnam continued to draw men and skills and money like some demonic destructive suction tube. So I was increasingly compelled to see the war as an enemy of the poor and to attack it as such. Perhaps a more tragic recognition of reality took place when it became clear to me that the war was doing far more than devastating the hopes of the poor at home. It was sending their sons and their brothers and their husbands to fight and to die in extraordinarily high proportions relative to the rest of the population. We were taking the black young men who had been crippled by our society and sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Harlem. And so we have been repeatedly faced with the cruel irony of watching Negro and white boys on TV screens as they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same schools. And so we watch them in brutal solidarity, burning the huts of a poor village, but we realize that they would hardly live on the same block in Chicago. I could not be silent in the face of such cruel manipulation of the poor. My third reason moves to an even deeper level of awareness, for it grows out of my experience in the ghettos of the North over the last 3 years, especially the last three summers. As I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men, I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problems. I have tried to offer them my deepest compassion while maintaining my conviction that social change comes most meaningfully through nonviolent action. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our own nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problems, to bring about the changes it wanted. Their questions hit home, and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. For the sake of those boys, for the sake of this government, for the sake of the hundreds of thousands trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent.
That's Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., in a powerful speech that he gave 40 years ago today. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Bodies function best when we're in the right pH range and to begin to rot when we're not. Native pH Rescue can make the difference between enjoying a vibrant life or suffering a state of constant decline by helping balance your pH so you let go of aches, pains, and needless suffering. Years of wisdom from native tradition combined with current nutritional research have given us a simple but effective formulation. Feel better now. Call 1-866-972-3461 or visit www.nativehealthradio.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hold on. Brent Budowski joins us this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, and he argues that the Reid-Pelosi strategy is working.
Never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, love and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time to go home to take our boys.
Michael Franti and Spearhead. You ought to pick up that CD and add it to your collection. It's called Yell Fire. Brent Badowski returns to the Peter B. Collins Show. We talked with him recently about his role in framing the law that was the underlying issue in the Scooter Libby case, the Agent Identities Act. Brent, you know the name of it better than I do.
Yeah, the Intelligence Identities Protection Act.
There we go. I knew it had some of those words in there. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. The battle's raging here. I think we're holding our own.
Well, it's very interesting. I was just stunned to hear the president yesterday attempting to tweak the Congress for not doing its homework before it took a spring break. He's heading to Crawford today for his holiday, and he's the most vacationed president in recent American history.
Yeah, the thought of him criticizing anybody else on vacations is pretty funny. But there are much larger reasons the president is a little upset these days.
Yeah, he is feeling some pressure. Isn't that kind of evident?
Oh, yeah. And his core problem, Peter, is he really doesn't believe in a democracy. He believes there's one branch of government, one political party. And he's having some tough times adjusting that we now have a Congress controlled by Democrats, and we now have Scooter Libby's worried about perjury, and we've got Alberto Gonzalez's, who I predict will not testify and will be gone before he has to take that choice.
Yeah.
And they're having a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, Brent, I want to lay a little background here because I think we're going to have a very interesting exchange. I'm one of those people who felt that while the Pelosi package that came out of the House is well-intentioned, that it's an intermediate step that really suggests to me that ultimately the Democrats will have to bite the proverbial bullet and cut off funding for the war. But I have a couple of caveats to add to that. One is that I really think it was a turning point last week when the president was huffing and puffing and angry at the Democrats, and Speaker Pelosi calmly looked into the television camera and said, "Take a deep breath, Mr. President." And she exhibited the kind of calmness and leadership and determination that I know Nancy Pelosi for. And I think is a very formidable set of weapons in this current battle. And to me, that could have been a turning point in this whole debate. And it really is based on body language and self-control more than, you know, the underlying and overwhelming issues.
Oh, absolutely. And the interesting thing is the speaker was more presidential than the president by far. And that was one of those golden moments. And it was a golden moment because we have won a vote in the House and won a vote in the Senate. And that has never happened before. And that is a real turning point and a real inflection point. The other thing, Peter, that needs to be understood, in the real politic of this, here's what's really going on, okay? The war will only end when 10 to 20 Senate Republicans go to the White House the way Barry Goldwater went to Nixon and looked the president in the eye and said, "Mr. President, this must end." Okay? Now, 70% of the people agree with us. Our problem is we don't have the votes to override a veto, and so we're in an endless stalemate. When the president goes out and uses this demeaning language, you know, this sarcasm and ridicule and condescension, and when he said the commanders wanted him to support the surge, when he lies. The truth is, he's not just criticizing the speaker, the majority leader, and those of us. He's criticizing 70% of the American people, and they don't like it. And what's happening as we sit here right now this afternoon is those Republicans, especially the 21 running for re-election in the Senate, are back home. And I guarantee you, the voters back home may be ambivalent, but they're not saying, "Hey, Senator Norm Coleman, we want you to give the president a blank check. He's doing a great job in the Iraq war.
Well, and I can't imagine there's anybody who says the surge is working. I'd like to stroll in the Shorja market with you in Baghdad. And Brent, we now know that the day after John McCain took that photo op walk with 100 soldiers with automatic weapons protecting him, 3 helicopters overhead, and no unchecked civilians allowed within 50 feet of him, 21 people, including a number of children, were, slaughtered. It wasn't just an attack. They were subjected to these gangland-style slayings that are common in Baghdad today. And it completely belies the phony attempt by John McCain to create a photograph that would show that the so-called surge is working.
Oh, it was completely ridiculous. I called it the McCain mirage. It just wasn't true. And another interesting inflection point, it took about 24 hours for the press to make that look ridiculous and ludicrous. And that has never happened to John McCain before, when he just looked silly and he looked dishonest. And that itself is a change in how even the press is willing to take McCain on. I mean, it's just preposterous. That when you look at the shot from a camera angle that's different, you see the guy walking down the street, you see 100 American uniforms on either side, you see attack helicopters above protecting him, and then he goes and attacks the media for not reporting the good news. He was just taking a stroll in liberated Baghdad. And it was just part of the same kind of, I call it delusion or deceit, that has been the problem with this war from the beginning. It's the problem with the president yesterday. When I will repeat this, and I don't say it lightly, and I'm a Sam Nunn Democrat who worked for Lloyd Benson, I don't lightly say a president's a liar. But when the president said the commanders wanted him to do the surge, the president is lying.
And let me actually back up just for a second here, Brent, and read for our listeners a portion of this post, and they can find it at pundits.thehill.com today. You wrote, America, Iraq, and the Middle East may have entered a profound and historical turning point. At this moment, the Reid-Pelosi flanking maneuver is brilliant and powerful. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid moves aggressively to turn around the military escalation, while House Speaker Nancy Pelosi moves aggressively to support Middle East peace initiatives. Let's begin with one key point. When George Bush said yesterday that he decided to surge the troops and escalate in Iraq at the request of American commanders, he was telling a bald-faced lie. No more niceties. This is so fundamental and important with so many American lives at stake that we should be crystal clear about the truth. And, Brent, I'm completely with you on both of your points here. And I was so disappointed last night to see Jack Reed, the senator from Rhode Island, who is kind of the designated Senate spokesperson on the war issues, failing to make these crystal clear points. He's still talking in that gentlemanly, clubbish manner of the Senate, and not really addressing the true concerns of the American people in the language that we use. Yes, the president has lied about this. And, Harry Reid is getting a lot more forceful. I appreciate the comments he's made in the past few days in backing Russ Feingold's new legislation. But Jack Reid, he still uses the frames and language of the Republicans while soft-selling the very powerful points the Democrats are trying to make.
Oh, absolutely. And I like Jack Reed, and I'll try to explain that. I sent this piece today to a number of very high-level Democrats. And I said, I'm not sure you want to go as far as I do and use the L word, but I think you ought to challenge Bush on that sentence, and the national press will back you up. And, I come from a somewhat more, I don't want to say conservative, but centrist, Sam
yeah.
Nunn, Lloyd
mm-hmm.
Benson. And I'm in an unusual position because I was against this war from day one back in 2002 and got my head kicked in by both sides opposing it.
Yeah.
It's hard to call the president a liar. It doesn't even come naturally to me.
Well, do you think some of these folks could practice with the Alberto Gonzalez case?
Oh, absolutely. And the point I was making in the piece today, where I just said it, and it got to the right people, and we'll know in a couple of days whether it has any impact, is, that there is an Orwellian side to this war and a delusional side to this war and a deceitful side from the beginning. And there is a point when a lie is so bad, you have to call it a lie. I'll just repeat it. Most of your audience knows it. The president knows it, even though he lied about it. The Joint Chiefs of Staff unanimously opposed the surge, went to the president, asked him not to do it. The Iraq commanders at the time unanimously opposed the surge and asked the president not to do it. He disrespected them. He demeaned them. He overruled them. He then found a commander who will say he wants it. And then he lies and says that the very people who asked him not to do it asked them to do it. And there is a point about this where it is so Orwellian, and so many people are dead, and the stakes are so high, just like it was just preposterous for John McCain to do a cheap photo op stunt that a high school journalism student would see was another form of lie. I mean, it was just ridiculous, and we need to challenge these things. And I understand where Senator Jack Reed is coming from. He's a good man. It's hard for them to speak the truth as bluntly as I would and you would, but it needs to be said. A lie is a lie. It's gone too far. When he says that our commanders supported something that they opposed, he's lying. And I'm sick of the man who let our troops get killed without body armor, without helmets and bandages and protected Humvees, say we don't support the troops. I'm sick of the man who lets our wounded troops get rats, mice, lice, dirt, wounds, insulting treatment. They're threatened when they try to complain. They're punished when they try to tell us about their condition. And he has the gall to say that anybody else supports the troops. It's time we go in their face. It's a new day with a new Congress.
Brent, with your indulgence, I would revise and extend your remarks to this point. and that is that everything you said, I agree with. And the president went further and blamed the Democrats for opposing the escalation, and then tried to, you know, lay it on their feet, and said that we can't let politicians in Washington make the decisions that are rightfully those of the commanders in the field. And this is another lie, because as you have pointed out, and very carefully, the president is the politician in Washington who made the decision for the surge over the best judgment of his military commanders.
Oh, absolutely. And the military commanders unanimously begged and pleaded Bush for reinforcements at Tora Bora to kill bin Laden. And the president told the commanders to buzz off. He refused to give them the reinforcements. And bin Laden went to Pakistan to reorganize, which he is right now. And George Bush, instead of following the commander's advice to kill bin Laden, began this obsessive and incompetent and misbegotten war that never should have happened in the first place. Had he listened to the commanders, Osama would probably be dead, and we'd have 3,000 less Gold Star mothers in America. And we need to say that.
We sure do. Brent Podolsky is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can read his piece, pundits.thehill.com. And just cover the left side of the screen there where Dick Morris and Armstrong Williams are.
I'm holding up the good guy side.
Well, I appreciate you weighing in there. You know, in radio, we can't control who the host is before or after us or any of these awful commercials that play. So I can't take a holier-than-thou position. But, gosh, having Dick Morris there is an annoying distraction. We'll continue with Brent Podolsky after a quick break of some fabulous sponsor messages here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I only concur, and the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
A little Mission Accomplished music. In the recent anti-war march in San Francisco, somebody gave me a sign that I've got here at the studio, Civil War Accomplished. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Brent Badowski, former Capitol Hill staffer. And he blogs and writes, and the post we're talking about today is available at pundits.thehill.com, entitled Reid and Pelosi Have Bush Flanked. Now, Brent, I want to offer a counter scenario here, and we can mix it up a little bit.
Sure.
Because I would love for this to work. I'd love for this to be a sufficient cudgel to get the president's attention. But I do take him at his pronouncements that he will most likely veto the legislation once it comes out of the conference committee. And it's unclear whether it will still have any meaningful teeth in it after the conference completes the merger of the Senate and House bills. That said, the Democrats have an interesting strategy here, and I was really encouraged by the Feingold bill and Harry Reid's embracing of that bill on Monday of this week. And this is an interesting strategy, because if the Democrats can pass that through the Senate, then it's a real threat to the president as the clock runs that he's going to be forced to make a choice between the bill with timelines and money for the troops and a much more restrictive bill with a definite cutoff date for the war, which Feingold is proposing. Now, that's a very interesting piece of legislative jujitsu if it works. But as I saw Jack Reed, the senator from Rhode Island, on television last night, I felt that he thought that he's in the driver's seat, that the Democrats have the president cornered, and that he is going to have to be the one who vetoes the bill and then can be labeled as the guy who isn't supporting the troops. And if that works, fine. But there are two big problems. One is there is not a veto override vote apparent in either house, and Joey Lieberman.
Well, I'm going to do a fundraiser for Democrats pretty soon on the Internet for the senators and predict we can win 5 to 10 more seats. And one of the great joys of that, when it happens with any pickup, is we won't have to put up with Joey Lieberman anymore blackmailing Democrats, threatening to leave the party unless we support his war, which we will not do. What's important, Peter, to understand about this is we're in a process. We're not going to solve this thing and end this war in April. It won't happen, okay? It's a process. And every time we come back stronger, and they come back weaker. And every time we take this fight to them, more Republicans are starting to squirm and privately telling the White House, look, you got to bail us out. They're still voting for it except for Chuck Hagel, who did a real profile in Courage last week.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he's barely welcome in the Republican cloakroom right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless him. And I know him and like him and respect him. And he may be the only Republican, if he runs for re-election, that I will support for re-election. But it's a process, okay? And there are many sips between the cup and the lip. I used to work for the congressional leadership. I brokered deals on this kind of stuff pretty regularly. And there are ways, for example, of extending the funding under certain conditions for, say, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'd like to see that. Put him on an allowance and say, you got to come back and get more money. The other thing is I'd like to see the Democrats stand up and say, wait a minute, this is a crisis that you have created by coming at us with very short-term demands for these so-called emergency supplementals. Get your stuff together, Bush, and get it in the Pentagon budget. We are tired of this Enron accounting approach to paying for your war.
But I
don't hear that. I don't hear any Democrats, you know, raising the issues of how we got into this pickle that the president wants to blame Democrats for.
Yeah, and I don't worry that we lose the debate on that, because we won't. Where the rubber's going to meet the road is when we cannot override a presidential veto. I mean, we don't have two-thirds. It's that simple, even if we pick up Republicans. What we can do is come back at him with a counter-proposal that is not what he wants. And, again, one way to do it is, and I'm just speaking for myself right now, but I know how this works. I've done it before. You can set time limits as well as conditions for the money. You can say we'll have another vote in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. There's a lot of ways of compromising, and the way we can frame the issue, the way the leaders can frame the issue, and I think the Speaker and the Majority Leader have done five-star work from the time they took over control. I mean, I'm not going to always agree with them. I think they're doing spectacularly on this. Is you go to the president, do you really want to have troops over there without the equipment, without the body armor, and without the Humvees? Yes or no, Mr. President? You say you support the troops. Are you for that or against it? Do you want troops to go over there that have only had 6 or 8 or 9 months rest, which violates military procedure and raises their danger? Do you want to have troops go over there where you delay their disability certification so you can send disabled troops back there because you don't have the troops? Yes or no, Mr. President? And we can fire one of them after another at him. And on every one of those issues, 90% of the military families of America who know those issues will be on our side.
All right, Brent, let's pause here for a phone call. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Welcome, Dave. Dave, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brent Badowski.
Peter, thank you. And Brent, I see that this war is altogether too profitable for certain small corporate special interests that are making a fortune. They got the Treasury in their pocket right now, and that's what it's all about. And those corporations are putting money in the pockets of any number of senators and congressmen across this country. We've spoken several times of my own congressman up here in District 1. They would like to end the war, but not in any big rush. That would not please the people that are benefiting from it so greatly, that are helping them, contributing to them.
Dave, tell us what message you and your cohorts are trying to get to Mike Thompson.
That we would like to see him support any measure or introduce a measure that would get us out of this war promptly, not to make any excuses for why we have to be there another 2 or 3 years, which the provisions that are in the resolutions now would allow them to extend themselves over there forever, virtually. So.
Right. Okay, I get your point, and thank you for the call. And, Brent, when we talked to Congressman Thompson about 3 weeks ago, he didn't know anything or professed to know very little about Barbara Lee's bill. And so Dave's point is that he doesn't seem to be really focused on the most expedient route out of the war.
Well, hard to believe a congressman doesn't know that the bill exists. But let me address Dave's point, which I think is an important one. There is a lot of corruption and profiteering historically on this war. You've had $10 billion of American money that's lost, stolen, or missing. You've had about $12 billion, 365 tons of Iraqi cash that is lost, stolen, and missing. And one of the benefits of electing a Democratic Congress are guys like Henry Waxman, who are out there investigating this with subpoena power, and you're starting to see people turn state's evidence. You're starting to see people afraid, again, to perjure themselves. And as we go into the summer, this is going to be, Peter, you heard it here first, the summer of scandal. All of this dirt from Alberto to the war profiteering and the corruption of Iraq money is coming to the fore. You're going to see it. It's a different conversation on the oil companies' attempts to influence the global warming debate and their profiteering on oil in the Middle East. And as these things unfold, the American people are going to go, why do you have people making historic record profits with historic record corruption while we can't have our troops have bandages?
Got to stop there. Brent Podolsky, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again soon.
Take care.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tony Blair gets the news he'd been waiting for.
I'm glad that 15 service personnel have been released.
Popular mammogram method criticized.
There was no clear increase in breast cancer detection.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Nearly 2 weeks of behind-the-scenes diplomacy paid off today when Iran's president announced he was releasing 15 captured British sailors. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer has the story.
Ever the showman, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad milked today's event for all it was worth. First, he awarded medals to the Revolutionary Guards, the Iranian heroes who had captured the sailors. Then, after a long, rambling speech, he stunned the world. The 15 captives would be freed, he said, as an Easter gift to the British people. Back in Britain, families of the sailors were watching the press conference live, totally unprepared for the surprise ending.
When we heard, I think I fell on the floor, Paul.
It's an astonishing moment.
Astonishing. Floods of tears.
I still can't believe my son's going to be coming home.
The British sailors planned to be on an early morning flight out of Tehran, clearly elated to have gained their freedom.
Iran has broadcast brief TV interviews with three of the sailors who say they've been treated very well. They all had new clothes and fresh haircuts when they were paraded before the cameras earlier. Now this.
Dealer takes two and a glass of Corbett.
Canyon.
Corbett, it's been years.
It's gotten great reviews.
Yeah, and Corbett has this new twist-off closure, so every glass is perfect.
Incredible Cabernet.
And a Chardonnay for me.
Sure, still have Corbett's premium wine cask from our last game. After it's open, keeps wine fresh for 6 weeks.
Won't be here that long. Nothing beats this Cabernet or my Royal Flush.
Corbett Canyon. One great taste, two convenient choices. The new twist-off closure and the premium wine cask. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
Computer-assisted mammograms were supposed to be an improvement, but new research raises troubling questions, as CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
9 years ago, the FDA approved the use of computers to help read mammograms to give radiologists, in essence, a second set of eyes to catch more breast cancers. Now a huge New England Journal of Medicine study not only shows there's no increase in detection, 30% more women are told they have cancer when they don't.
They're more likely to be called back for more tests and to get a breast biopsy.
Very traumatic, says University of California researcher Dr. Joshua Fenton, and he estimates that computer-aided detection adds more than $500 million annually to screening. Expenses.
For these costs, human suffering and economic costs, do the benefits outweigh those costs?
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush learned of Iran's decision to release the British sailors aboard Air Force One as he flew to California. First stop, Fort Irwin in the Mojave Desert.
In his speech to U.S. troops at this training center for those going to Iraq,
President Bush said the conflict there is not a civil war, but a battle with what he termed pure evil. He cited a report of extremists who put children in a car, drove it to a crowded area, and then blew it up.
It only hardens my resolve to help free Iraq from a society in which people can do that to children.
Mr. Bush again called on Congress to send him a new funding bill for troops in Iraq without a timeline for U.S. withdrawal. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president at Fort Irwin, California.
From there, Mr. Bush went to a Republican fundraiser at a private home in Los Angeles before flying to Texas to spend Easter weekend at his ranch. If there was any doubt that the junior senator from Illinois is a serious contender for the White House, CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger says it was a race today.
Barack Obama's good fortune became Hillary Clinton's political problem today as he matched her national fundraising numbers almost dollar for dollar. Obama has raked in $25 million since January, just under the $26 million raised by Hillary Clinton, who's known as a fundraising superstar.
While both Democratic hopefuls have tapped their wealthy friends, Obama has twice as many individual donors, many of whom have given small amounts online. He's raised $6.9 million on the Internet versus $4.2 for Clinton. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on Earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
I get no power.
Not quite indomitable. Ah, but we do bounce back from setbacks. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 30 minutes from now, retired Senator James Aberesk. He was the first Arab American to serve in the United States Senate, a Democrat from South Dakota. He'll join us, talk about Nancy Pelosi's visit to Damascus, Syria, and other points in the Middle East. And I think that'll be a very interesting perspective from a man who served and left the Senate in the late 1970s. Joining us now is Mike Lux. He is the president of American Family Voices. And if I had to sum it up in a few words, Netroots, grassroots, and activism on the progressive side. Mike, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be on.
Nice to talk with you. And
it's wonderful that I'm on with James Aberesk. He was one of my heroes growing up in Nebraska, not the same state, but same region. And I always loved his populist spirit.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, and I'm looking forward to talking with him coming up a little bit later. Now, tell us about how you got out of Nebraska and wound up in Washington D.C.
Well, I spent most of my early career in the Midwest. I was a Vista worker in Nebraska and worked in the state legislature for a while, but I moved to Iowa in the early 80s and ran Iowa Citizen Action Network and also worked for the state AFL-CIO. And when you're in Iowa, you meet a lot of people in national politics, and So I ended up getting sucked up into that world and doing some presidential campaigns over mm-hmm. the years.
And was Clinton your first presidential campaign?
No, I worked as a very, very active volunteer. Took some time off from my job and worked as an active volunteer in the Mondale campaign. Mm-hmm. And then in the 88 cycle, I worked for Joe Biden, interestingly enough, before he blew himself up. And,
right.
And then worked for Paul Simon, who I dearly love.
Yeah, great senator from Illinois.
Yeah.
And, with a booming voice. He inherited the Everett Dirksen pipes from Illinois.
He did. It's sort of he's a very small man, short man, not very conventionally good-looking, but he just had this amazing voice.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'd done some presidential campaigns, and then in 92... Bob Kerry was running from my home state, and Tom Harkin was running from the state I was in at the time, and I was close to both of those guys, and so I decided to sit out the primary. After the primary was over and Clinton won, I went down to Little Rock and worked down there. So I really enjoyed that experience. Little Rock in 92 was very really a fun place to be.
Well, and the early believers, I think, deserve a lot of credit. Dee Dee Myers was working in San Francisco politics. She had gotten this guy, Frank Jordan. She'd helped on his campaign to get him elected mayor, former police chief.
Yep.
And she announced that she was going to Little Rock. And we all said, what? You're leaving Frisco, Dee Dee, for Little Rock? And she said, yeah, there's this guy, Bill Clinton. I said, yeah, we've heard of him, but you really think he's going to make it? And she said, yeah. And I was wrong about that one, Mike.
Dee Dee Myers story.
Yeah?
First time I ever went on the campaign plane with Clinton, we were at one of the innumerable stops and just kind of hanging out and waiting, which is what you do a lot of when you're traveling with the candidate. And I was talking to Dee Dee, and I didn't know Clinton at all at that point personally, and so I was asking her about him, and she says, "Well, you know, Clinton is the closest thing to normal you can get for a guy who's actually running for president." And I thought that was an interesting description, and in some ways, it is true. He's a very easy guy to be around, and sort of a normal guy in a whole lot of ways, except that he's just, you know, incredibly ambitious and smart and articulate and all those other things.
So. Yeah. So tell us about American Family Voices. I've been on your email list for quite a while, so I'm aware, but tell our listeners what your focus is and what you agitate on.
Well, what we believe in and care about is helping promote progressive populism in the country, helping promote issues that help middle-class Americans, working-class Americans. We've always felt like the average citizen in this country who's just trying to have a good life with their family is getting screwed a whole lot of the time, getting screwed by insurance companies, by the big energy companies, by all kinds of corporations who are trying to take advantage of their power.
Mike, I just have to jump in for a moment here because screwed is a registered trademark of Tom Hartman. That's the title of his recent book.
Well, I guess I shouldn't use that word.
Well, no, you just have to send a dollar to Tom Hartman and he'll be happy.
Well, I'll be careful.
But go on. It's an apt description. We have been screwed. And for example, as the ultra-rich have gotten the Bush tax breaks, the working families in this country have not seen an increase in their disposable incomes. Minimum wage workers are still waiting for a raise. And meanwhile, as taxes haven't gone up, all kinds of costs, including health insurance, health care, and tuition at state universities, those have all climbed. And these are the hidden taxes on working Americans.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it is crazy what it costs to send a kid to college these days. And all of the costs that you talked about have been skyrocketing. Our incomes have not been going up hardly at all. I mean, a little bit here and there, but very rarely. And so we've been hurt in so many different ways by the rich and the powerful and the system that we've got, the powerful special interests. So we wanted to be an organization that would look out for working families, for middle-income families, and that would be helpful in that. The other thing that we've really made as our mission is to provide, is to be kind of a free safety, if you will, for the broader progressive movement. We believe in taking on projects that other groups aren't necessarily taking on. We believe in organizing around issues that are happening right now that affect people that other groups aren't necessarily organizing around.
Give us an example.
Well, I'll give you an example from very early in the Bush first term, arsenic in the water. Normally you'd think the environmental groups would jump on that issue, and certainly they put out good statements on it, but they were really focused at that point on an issue that was far more important to them, which was ANWR, you know, the Alaska
right.
Reserve. And so nobody was really doing anything on that issue. We raised a bunch of money fast and put up some ads and helped with a PR campaign around that issue, and really were able to blow up the issue and force Bush to back down on it.
Well, another example that I'm aware of, because we have a mutual friend in Steve Pizzo,
oh, yeah.
is the Daily Enron.
That was another major project we took on.
That was a brilliant effort in what? That started in 2000 and ran through, I guess, the first part of 2001. And it was a brilliant way to draw attention to Republican corruption on a daily basis.
Yeah, that was a great project, and I was really proud of that. I'm still really proud of that, and we hired, you know, talented folks like Steve to work on it with us. The idea of that was, you know, on these kinds of corporate corruption issues, there is no sort of natural single issue group that works on those kinds of issues. Some other groups touch on the issue here or there, but there really wasn't anybody taking that on and running with that issue. So we actually raised the money to put together a war room on the corporate responsibility issue. We had a daily a email alert that went out called the Daily Enron, which Steve wrote for us.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a great
muckraker.
You know Steve.
Yep.
He's a wild man.
Yes,
and,
he is.
He wrote these great columns every day that exposed different facets of the scandal. We also did ads in that thing where Bush was going around talking about how, oh, yeah, corporations ought to be more responsible. But, of course, he's a big hypocrite because he wasn't pushing for any laws that would make them more responsible. And he himself, along with his vice president, were in the midst of some of the same corporate shenanigans that Enron had done. And so we did an ad pointing that out that mm-hmm. talked about George Bush talking about corporate responsibility as like the fox guarding the hen house. And anyway, the ad caused a huge stir, and in fact, the day we put up the ad, it freaked the Bush people out so much that they called an emergency press conference on 3 hours' notice to try to change the subject. Bush came out, and they didn't really have anything to announce. They just didn't want the media covering the ad.
Well, and as I recall, in that three-hour period, Mike, they failed to help the president learn how to pronounce malfeasance. It came out as malfeasance.
That's exactly right. That was the press conference where he couldn't pronounce malfeasance.
Yeah.
And in fact, in the end, 21 out of the 30 questions at that press conference were about our ad. So it backfired on
us. That's damage. That's damage control at its finest.
That's the kind of thing that we've been able to do, move fast, move quickly, take advantage of issues that are going on, organize around those issues, and then help either stop bad things from happening, or in that case, we help push through the Sarbanes-Oxley bill.
Yeah, Mike, we need to go to a break here, but we have a lot of activists who listen to this program. So give the website where people could sign up to receive your email alerts from American Family Voices.
Yeah, it's AmericanFamilyVoices.org. And we would love for people to come and sign up. We do projects all the time, take on a lot of exciting issues.
And you don't overdo it. I don't get too many emails from you, but when I get one, I pay attention to it. So we'll
appreciate that.
Continue with Mike Lux in just a moment and visit that website, AmericanFamilyVoices.org, and you can be part of this network, too. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at Soquel. Rodeo Goldshed Chardonnay. We have an accident. Car hit a telephone pole. No injuries. That's the good news. San Martin, Monterey Avenue, and Highland Avenue. We have a two-vehicle crash. It looks like they've driven off the road, drove off the roadway and into a parking lot area. Santa Cruz, Highway 1 southbound, the on-ramp to Morrissey, the on- and off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day, which is scheduled through the 1st of May. Highway 17, looking at that real quickly, no major stalls or accidents to tell you about. And I can tell you this report is brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry to Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you'll make no down payments, no monthly payments, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. 22 minutes after the hour, Senator James Aberesk joins us in about 10 minutes. We continue with Mike Lux, the president of American Family Voices. Our music of the moment from Joe Jackson, and it's called You Can't Get What You Want Till You Know What You Want. And I think some progressives suffer from problems like that, trying to figure out exactly what it is that matters most to us. And, Mike, I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, there are some fissures, some divisions in the Democratic Party. And I'm pleased to see that there, you know, is some consensus now building around Pelosi's package on the war. I'm one of those people who's still a little bit skeptical because I think that this president is not going to respond to these incremental efforts and a desire to negotiate on the part of the Democrats. He's not interested in any of that kind of conversation or dialogue, and I think ultimately they will be forced into the Feingold Barbara Lee position, which is the only way to do this is to cut off funds for the war. But they are gaining traction, and I think we were talking to Brent Badowski before you came on, and he sees it as kind of a pincer effort of Reid, you know, pushing on the war issues and Pelosi pushing on more or less the implementation of the Iraq study group. But how do you see this going forward, and how can we have honest disagreements without pissing all over each other and really making things worse?
Well, I think that's a great question, and you know, this is very, very hard work. I think people need to understand that it's the legislative process is a messy process, and it's very hard to get people singing off the same page book. You know, especially Democrats. Let's face it, we have a tendency to be all over the map sometimes. But anytime you get into this kind of dynamic where you've got a president of the United States with all of the powers of that office who is absolutely digging in his heels and then trying to craft a strategy and unite the Democratic Party around it, and especially given that there are extremely narrow margins in the Senate and even in the House where we've got a little bit more running room, there are fairly narrow margins. Trying to craft something that can get 51 votes and 218 votes is not an easy process.
Well, and we were talking about Lieberman last half hour. At any moment, he could bolt from the Democratic caucus, and with Tim Johnson still incapacitated, we lose control.
Well, that's right, and that's something that that Reid has to deal with and be aware of every day. So this is very tricky business, and activists should do, I think, I mean, we should have a dual track strategy on this. First of all, absolutely keep the heat on. Absolutely keep the heat on. I mean, unless Congress is hearing from us that we don't want this war, that we want to get out, nothing's ever going to change. But I would say at the same time, and I don't think this is contradictory, at the same time, we need to understand that Reid and Pelosi are doing the best they can to find, you know, 51 and 218 votes respectively, and that we've got to show some patience and some understanding of them and be supportive of them.
Well,
I think you can do those two things, by the way, at the same time. There's no downside in keeping the heat on, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have to work with the leadership to try to get what we can. What I hate to see is, you know, like in this recent vote, people attacking, for example, MoveOn.org, which I personally think is the greatest organization in America, and saying that they had sold out because they were supporting this compromise bill. Mm-hmm. They haven't sold out. Tactically, they're trying to work with the leadership to get the best possible thing done. You might disagree with that particular tactic, but to say they've sold out is just crazy. And that's where you were talking about us, you know, pissing up all over each other. That's
right.
Exactly.
Here's one of my activist listeners, sometimes impatient. It's Jake in Arcata. Hey, Jake, go ahead.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Mike. Hey. Yeah, you know, this all does remind me of that one scene, I believe it was Will Rogers, where he said, I do not belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat, something along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big tent party, and we have, you know, conservatives like Mike Thompson. We have, you know, progressives like Barbara Lee. You know, so there is a broad spectrum inside the Democratic Party, and that's a good thing. That's something that we should try to maintain. But, you know, I do see this this fracture inside the Democratic Party possibly being healed, and I think what may heal it is just the withering attacks from the right wing on Democratic politicians these days. And in case you haven't heard, the new line from the Sean Clannadys of the world is that, you know, Nancy Pelosi is now a terrorist because she went to Syria. Now she's collaborating with the enemy. I mean, these people are as bad as Joseph McCarthy. And I think that's the thing that's going to keep Democrats together, the fact that Republicans are just crazy.
Good point. Mike, comment? I got 30 seconds.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, the funny thing is,
a bunch of Republicans went to Syria too, right around the same time. These people are such hypocrites, and their hypocritical attacking and ridiculous attacking of us is going to help keep us united.
Mike, I want to thank you for joining us. Let's talk again soon. And I want to direct people again to AmericanFamilyVoices.org, where they can sign up to receive your action alerts.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's great being on.
Good talking with you. Coming up next, retired Senator James Aberesk, Democrat from South Dakota, the first Arab American to serve in the Senate. He'll join us and talk about Pelosi's trip to Damascus. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Why were they really released? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Iran's President Ahmadinejad announced today the release of those 15 British sailors in honor of the Prophet's upcoming birthday. And as a further sign of his magnanimity, he implored the British government not to punish them for readily confessing that they had trespassed in Iranian waters after their remedial course in revolutionary geography. He also gave medals of bravery to the heads of the Iranian Navy and the Revolutionary Guard, who bravely protected Iran from Britain's two little speedboats. In return, Iran got visiting rights for the five Iranians still being held by the U.S. in Iraq, and an Iranian official of the Baghdad embassy was set free. But there's something else, too. Last Saturday, at the height of the crisis, two U.S. warplanes flew over Abadan City in southern Iran, home to Iran's biggest oil refineries. I very much doubt these planes had somehow lost their way. It was a message that, as bad as things may be going in Iraq, George Bush would have no problem ordering a visit next door. It was a message that, even though the crisis has boosted oil prices, Iran might have difficulty selling that oil if it was in flames. Ahmadinejad is itching for a military confrontation, but he was clearly overruled by Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, who probably realized that so is the man in the White House. And so, what we're seeing either means that President Ahmadinejad is a peace-loving man overflowing with Muslim generosity, or it means the nuclear bomb isn't quite ready yet. History will decide. In the meantime, let's all enjoy the cheaper gas.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. At the top of the next hour, as we open up the free speech zone for your comments, we're going to talk to a man who just had his First Amendment rights restored yesterday. Josh Wolf was locked up for 7.5 months in a federal pen for refusing to turn over videotapes of a struggle between cops and protesters in San Francisco. And I applaud his release. We'll get his first-person account about a half an hour from now. But first, I'm pleased to bring on a man who has the distinction of being the first Arab American to have served in the United States Senate. He served one term in the House and then jumped to the Senate for a term, and he's been retired since then. He is Senator James Aberesk of South Dakota. Senator, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
Now, I'm looking at your Wikipedia entry, and it identifies you as having been born to Christian Lebanese parents. And I'm a little familiar with Lebanon. I have some relatives who are Lebanese-Americans, Maronite Catholics from Detroit. And I wanted to start there just with the situation in Lebanon. What is your sense of the outcome of last summer's hostilities between Hezbollah and Israel and the Sinora government? Is it stable at this time, in your opinion?
Well, I don't really know how stable the Sinora government is. I know that Hezbollah has been sitting out in the streets ever since, and they're pretty determined. They may stay there for a long time until they get what they consider to be their share of the power arrangement in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, they're about 40% of the population, but they only have like 2 cabinet members.
Yeah, it's a very difficult picture there politically. There's no doubt about that. And Sheikh Nasrallah has played his cards pretty remarkably for a man in his situation.
Well, I guess he's a very smart guy. I don't speak Arabic, but people who do speak Arabic tell me he's a very exceptional speaker and very smart in his strategic moves.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a formidable foe to have if you're going to go against him, as he proved last summer.
Yeah. And what do you make of the renewed efforts by Secretary Rice to broker peace talks between Israel and its neighbors? Is this just PR?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. That's fine. That's a sufficient answer.
Well, what I see her doing, she's going to talk to our friends in the Middle East. She doesn't talk to her enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, you have to talk to your enemies if you want to make peace.
Well, and on that score, Nancy Pelosi from here in San Francisco made a trip to the Middle East, and she stopped first in Israel, and then she stopped in Lebanon, and she got the most controversy, including a rebuke from the president himself yesterday for going to Damascus and having a meeting with the president there.
You know, that's really unfortunate that he would single her out like that. As she said herself, there were Republican Congress people last week went there who never said a word about it. What I think he objects to is that Nancy is a leader, and she's making an opening that he refuses to make. And I think it's very, of course, Bush is, he's proved his stupidity in the past and his incompetence. It's the most incompetent thing I've ever seen is refusing to talk to the Syrians and the Iranians. I mean, my God, these are people who can settle things down in the Middle East or they can stir them up.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently, you know, I've always thought if I were a conspiracy theorist, I would think that both he and Ahmadinejad and Iran are cooking this conflict up between themselves just to get oil prices up. Because that's what happens every time there's a little bit of a crisis or a standoff out there, oil prices go up.
Well, and Senator, when we step back from, you know, the volleys of rhetoric in the United States and just look at actions and impacts, Bush has fulfilled the wildest dream of Osama bin Laden by putting American forces into Iraq in a what's clearly a losing situation. And in doing so, we have empowered Iran to its highest status as a regional military and political power in my lifetime. And thirdly, we have succeeded in increasing the value of oil reserves worldwide, and we're now paying $4 a gallon in California for a premium unleaded.
God, I can't imagine, yeah. I know, but he has. What Bush ought to do is build a statue to Osama bin Laden, because if it hadn't been for, you know, his terrorism that he backed, I guess, in 2001, Bush would be 10% in the polls by the time his reelection came around.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been riding on fear ever since then, you know.
Explain what you mean there. I think I understand, but what you just referred to about 2001 and Bush actually enhancing the power of al-Qaeda.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, bin Laden enhanced the powers of Bush by making him somebody who claims to be able to protect us, which he didn't do in September 11, 2001, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And bin Laden is crowing about getting the United States to do exactly what he wanted us to do, and that's live in fear. And, of course, Bush uses that fear, he and Karl Rove, to keep himself in power and keep his... He thought he was going to keep himself popular for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tragic thing. He's screwed up our foreign policy so badly. Whoever the next president is, I think it'll be a Democrat. I can't see the nation voting Republican for a while. But whoever's next in the presidency is going to have to go around the world and calm everybody down again, you know, to make friends where we've made enemies.
Well, some apologies and just expressions of rejection of this administration would be a first step.
Well, I would think that whoever's going to be president should reject the policies of the Bush administration. You know, for example, what I said today in my press release about Syria. Syria stopped several al-Qaeda operations aimed at American interests overseas in the Middle East. And they found out about them, turned the information over to the U.S. The U.S. was able to stop them and save American lives. So what does Syria get from it? They get bad-mouthed by Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to President Bashar al-Assad. I talk to him every time I go over there, practically. And he said 4 or 5 years ago when I was there, he said they stopped this operation. I said, well, tell me which operation that was. He said, "He says the Americans have asked me not to talk about it, but if they keep calling me a terrorist, I'm going to start talking about it."
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the U.S. Ambassador, Ted Katuf, then. I said, is that true? He said, that's not only true, but they've stopped more than one. And, of course, now Assad has refused to cooperate anymore with the U.S. He doesn't get anything for it except badmouth again, you know, and it's risk-taking for him. But it's tragic. You know, the other thing I might want to point out, Mr. Collins, is that both Syria and Iran have called for a nuclear weapons-free Middle East,
mm-hmm.
including Israel. And, of course, it got no play in this country in the press, and Israel scoffed at it, as did the Bush administration. Now, you know, it seems to me that Iran is arming itself in fear of Israel's 200 nuclear warheads. So it seems to me that if you could disarm in a nuclear respect the whole Middle East, the world would be a lot safer. Because I'm just terribly afraid any conflict over there involving Israel, they're going to use nuclear weapons.
Well, I certainly share your view, Senator, and I do think that the idea of a nuclear-free Middle East is a workable concept. The problem we have is the hypocrisy of the U.S. and the kind of bunker mentality that tends to be prevalent among Israeli politicians and generals.
Well, yeah, but you'd think it'd be in Israel's interest to disarm everybody over there, too, for God's sake. And their military is so powerful without nuclear weapons, they don't really have to worry about anybody taking them on. They've always been able to whip the Arabs.
But didn't they have a comeuppance against Hezbollah last summer?
Well, that's because they invaded. But if they were defensive in nature, nobody could take them on over
mm-hmm.
there. They've got the fourth most powerful army in the world.
Right.
I just don't see the danger. The other thing is if they'd make peace with the Palestinians, that would end the danger right there.
Yeah. That's a very important set of issues. I agree. Now, Senator, we have word that Tehran has announced that the British sailors and Marines, 15 in total, who were grabbed 2 weeks ago this Friday at the Shaba al-Arat. Do I have that right?
Shat al-Arab
waterway, yes, thank you, are going to be released. We don't have confirmation that they've actually been put into British custody at this point. But what is your sense? Is that the end of this episode?
Oh, I suppose of this episode, yeah. I think Iran got what it wanted out of it, and that was some kind of respect, and a diplomatic dealing from Britain under the table.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the news tonight on television, and some of the experts were talking about it, that as soon as Blair toned his rhetoric down, the Iranians then started talking sense, that, okay, we're okay, we're going to start releasing them.
So, well, do you think
Jimmy Carter made that big mistake back when the Iranians took our embassy people.
Mm-hmm.
He raised the rhetoric to such a level that, they couldn't refuse him.
Well, do you think Tony Blair might share his secret with George W. Bush?
Oh, I don't know. I like Bill Maher said, if you're going to have a double press conference with Tony Blair, please let Blair do the talking. I don't think Bush is going to listen to anybody over anything anymore. He's done for.
Yeah. We're talking with Senator James Aberesk, a retired Democratic senator from South Dakota. He's here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, let's talk a little more about the meeting that Speaker Pelosi had with Bashar al-Assad, because I believe that she took appropriate steps to insulate herself from most criticism except the kind of political sniping that we've seen coming from the White House. She went to Israel and paid her respects, and she actually carried a message from Prime Minister Olmert to President Assad. She also made it clear that she was going to communicate very clearly her positions regarding Syria's alleged support for Hezbollah and Hamas. And so from my perspective, she is engaging in a diplomatic exchange, but she's not really undermining the positions of the Bush administration in a direct way. She, in my view, is trying to open up channels that the Bush administration could clearly benefit from utilizing.
It seems that way, yes.
And so do you share any of the concerns that have been coming out of the Republican talking heads about Pelosi's visit?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say. I think it's a beneficial thing that she's done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. In fact, instead of sending Condi Rice to Saudi Arabia, he ought to have her stop in Syria and Iran and talk to people there. I mean, my God, that only makes sense to me.
Well, even just, when was it? It was Sunday. I heard an interview between Sean Hannity and Condoleezza Rice, and of course he was feeding her marshmallows.
Yeah.
But he got her to comment about Syria and Iran. And, she basically takes the position of a schoolmarm, that until they sit down and shut up and, write, "I will not offend the United States 25 times, we're not going to talk to them."
Yeah, I know.
And it really seems juvenile for this administration to pretend that, they can be tough and that they don't have to sit down and talk with people who don't entirely agree with us.
Well, that's the problem with the Bush people. We are the most powerful country in the world, and people take offense when we lord it over them. I think we ought to stop it. I mean, we're going to stay powerful, and we don't need to lord it over these small countries like he's been doing. I mean, he's a bully. Essentially a bully, that's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his own, his henchmen like Condi Rice and so on, acting like a bully. It's tough for her. She's a pretty smart woman. I think it's tough for her to level down herself.
Dumbing down, is that what you're looking
for? Yeah, I guess dumbing down. It's kind of tough for her to do that. But she's had to do that just to follow his policies, which I think is god-awful.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break and return with Senator James Aberesk. Again, if you have a comment or a question, you can call me now, toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's the same as 1-888-5-PETER-B. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the latest. Well, not a whole lot going on, just a couple of things. We're going to take a look at San Martin, Monterey Highway at Highland Avenue. And it's a crash. Two vehicles have been, they've actually pulled off the roadway into a nearby parking lot. So this is not causing much of a problem. However, a little different story in Soquel. Northbound, or actually North Rodeo Gulch at Chardonnay. We have a car that hit a telephone pole. Now, fire crews, emergency, and the CHP, they're all blocking the southbound lane. This was first reported about 4:10, and so this is causing a big problem in the area. And Highway 17, no major stalls or accidents to take a look at, which is certainly some great news. This report brought to you by Shell Fuels. Low-quality gasoline can gunk to form inside your engine. Shell gasoline, stop the gunky buildup. Shell, made to move. That's traffic on KRXA.
10 minutes before the hour, as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Right after the top of the hour, we kick off the free speech zone with a man who, as I've mentioned, just got his First Amendment rights returned. Josh Wolf spent 7.5 months in a federal lockup because he refused to turn over a videotape. And we'll talk about how they federalized a local case and used it to get around California's Reporters Shield law. That's coming up about 15 minutes away here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue now with Senator James Aberesk. He's retired Democrat from the U.S. Senate, served from South Dakota, and a term before that in the U.S. House. And we are talking about Nancy Pelosi's visit to Syria and other issues regarding the Middle East. We're joined by Emma from Humboldt. Hello, Emma. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter. Nice to talk to you. I was just listening, and I was wondering if the senator thinks that Condoleezza Rice is so smart and the Bush administration policies are so egregious, why doesn't she just quit?
I don't know. You'll have to ask her.
Well, I just wanted to say I think Nancy Pelosi is doing a wonderful job, and I thank you for your show.
Okay. Thank you, Emma. I appreciate your call today. Senator, in general, how do you see this going forward? The House bill that came out with benchmarks and dates and a complete withdrawal plan will have to be conferenced with the Senate bill, which is much more voluntary in stating goals and aspirations. And with the threat of a presidential veto, how strong of a bill do you think is going to come out of that conference?
Oh, I suspect it'll be more close to the House version than the Senate version. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing now.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me like the Democrats started out very timidly on this war issue and caught enough hell from around the country they decided they'd better do something.
Well, this is where some of that hell is coming from.
Good for you. Well, Nancy changed her view some. She got stronger, I guess, and I guess we have you to thank for that, huh?
Well, I can't take direct credit for that, but we've been making noise about it because ultimately I believe that these middling steps will not work with this White House.
No.
And it's Cheney in particular who I believe is a man who doesn't know compromise and will have to be dragged out of the White House either when the term expires or due to impeachment. Because he really will not listen.
And the
Republicans, in some respects, are tweaking the Democrats by saying, look, if you're really serious about this, find your gonads and write a bill that cuts off the funds. There are Republicans, Orrin Hatch most recently, who are essentially daring the Democrats to do that.
Well, he's probably pretty confident they won't do it. You know, that's how we ended the Vietnam War, for God's sake. We eventually shut off the funds for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they're so... Because everybody knows what the country feels about the war right now, and especially last election, and the polls are very clear in saying, let's get out of there, and I don't know what they're waiting for.
And do you have conversations on a regular basis with your former colleagues?
I don't, no.
Yeah. And you don't use your privileges to go have lunch in the Senate dining room and rub elbows with the old gang?
I haven't had lunch there in 2-3 years.
Really? And tell me why. Do you just feel you don't want to be connected anymore, or are you angry? Or
No, it's partly that, and partly they don't want to listen to me. They never listened to me when I was there. Why should they do so now, you know?
Well, maybe they have gained wisdom in the intervening years, Senator.
God, we'd hope so.
Yeah. Now, let me turn to another issue that I'm very concerned about, and that is habeas corpus, what they call the Military Commissions Act.
Yeah.
And the whole sordid scene at Guantanamo, as we continue to have debates over just how much torture we're going to permit. And we have these confessions that are clearly a product of torture. I mean, it's even referenced in the non-redacted portions of the transcripts coming out of the Pentagon. And so we know that this nation has tortured. We know that Bush and Rice's statements to the contrary are flat-out lies. And yet we don't see any kind of coalescence or consensus in the House or the Senate to outright repeal the Military Commissions Act. Chris Dodd has a bill to fix it, but I haven't heard anybody say, you know, this was a mistake and we should revisit it immediately and just repeal our actions.
Well, that sort of cowardice is a product of Bush pounding everybody on you're either for terrorists or against them. And, you know, that's unfortunate. He's got them half afraid. They really don't have the gonads to be able to come out and just say, let's get rid of this thing. And that's unfortunate. You know, I've given up on impeachment. I don't think that anybody's going to bring up an impeachment bill. But they should. Bush and they have to do both Bush and Cheney. How would you like to have Cheney take over?
Yeah, it's true. We need the twofer.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, it's the only way to make it work. But it's just a question of the Democrats getting enough courage to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and strategically, while I support Ms. Pelosi on many levels, I still cannot understand why, starting after the midterm elections, she said impeachment is off the table. I can understand before the election it was a potential weapon that Karl Rove could use to activate Republicans to vote against Democrats. But once the Democrats won the majority in the House and the narrow control of the Senate, I believe they should have said, well, we want accountability, full investigations, up to and including impeachment if we find the evidence to support it.
Well, you know, they're really afraid that they're going to lose the 2008 presidential election if they do that. They're going to be they're very much afraid of everything. They're afraid that they'll be accused of being too partisan, and that might lose the president. I don't think the Democrats can lose the presidency. I don't think the country's going to vote for another Republican for another 4 or 8 years.
Well, some of us think that should be the trend, but given the last two presidential elections, we're concerned about voting machines and voting processes and honest elections.
Well, you got to get enough votes so they can't steal them. You know, they've been too close to let the Bush and his people steal the elections. That's what's happened.
Agreed. I argued in 2004 that John Kerry needed to beat the margin of graft in order to win.
Exactly. Good good way to put it. By the way, you know, I used to live in Mill Valley.
Oh, really?
Yes, years. I was a civil engineer back then before I went to law school.
Wow,
and
I didn't know that.
I worked in the State of California Highway Division.
You were a Caltrans guy?
Well, they didn't call it Caltrans then.
Uh-huh.
They called it Highway Division. I worked for about a year out there.
Well, I've got a Caltrans hard hat. Would you like to add that to your collection?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you a quick Mill Valley story before I have to go. Some years back, I applied for a post office box at the post office there, and they assigned me Box 100. That's where I get my public mail.
Huh.
And it used to be held by Senator Sam Hayakawa.
Oh, I got to tell you a story about Sam. Have you got a minute here?
No, but you can tell me off the air, Senator. So hold on. We'll talk to you in just a moment. Thanks a lot for joining us today. A real pleasure. Senator James Aberesk, retired Democrat from South Dakota. Coming up next, Josh Wolf using his...
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 15 British sailors released today by Iran's President Ahmadinejad are expected to be on a flight home in the morning.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. For Chris Coe, father of seaman Stephen Coe, it was...
Absolutely fantastic. Over the moon. Everybody, all the family, jumping for joy.
But Maggie Smith is going to save her celebrating for when her brother, seaman Arthur Batchelor, walks through the door.
We want him on that plane and stood in front of us before we actually believe he's coming home.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair, expressing profound relief, sends a message to the Iranian people.
We bear you no ill will. On the contrary, we respect Iran as an ancient civilization, as a nation with a proud and dignified history. And the disagreements that we have with your government, we wish to resolve peacefully. Through dialogue.
Syria claims it helped broker the deal, which did not require a public apology from the Blair government. Britain insists the sailors did not violate Iran's territorial waters. When 18-year-old Army Private Matthew Zimmer and 20-year-old Specialist Alan McPeak were killed in Iraq, their families were told they died in an insurgent attack. But now Major Ann Edgecombe says there are second thoughts.
Both of these soldiers died on February 2nd in Armadi, Iraq, and due to an investigation that the Army conducted, which is standard practice, there has been an indication that both of these soldiers may have been killed in action as a result of friendly fire.
Friendly fire. Three other soldiers were wounded. A major new medical study concludes that the risks outweigh the benefits of computer-assisted mammograms. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato takes a look.
Up to a third of all breast cancer screening facilities in the U.S. use computers to help radiologists take a second look at mammograms. The added cost? More than $500 million a year, this study says. There's also a human cost. The study finds computer-aided detection raises false positive rates, so more women are called back for traumatizing biopsies and tests they don't need.
The head of the National Cancer Institute says doctors need other techniques to find cancer in its earliest stages. The movie A Christmas Story, about a boy who wants an air rifle, has become a minor holiday classic.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. How, how, how.
There's sad news about the man who directed that 1983 film. Robert Clark and his son were killed early today when their car collided head-on with an SUV in Pacific Palisades, California. Police say the man driving the SUV was under the influence of alcohol and had no license. Robert Clark was 67, his son Ariel, 22. Anna Nicole Smith had a virtual pharmacy in her hotel room when she died of an overdose. Documents released today say all 11 medications were prescribed by the same California psychiatrist. The Dow up 19 points today. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I'd like you to try my legendary Oreck XL hotel vacuum on your thickest carpets, bare floors, closets, corners, upstairs, under furniture, on dog hair and cat hair. And if you're not thrilled with the Oreck XL, you don't buy it. You wouldn't go to a restaurant and pay for a meal before you ate it. Then why would you ever want to pay for a vacuum before you try it? Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining. Because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
Sale ends April 28th.
Happy in your job? Love your boss? You're in the minority. CBS's Jim Taylor reports.
If you talk to 50,000 employees, this is what you hear.
Employment is not what it used to be. People are not treated very well in many of their organizations, and people are just constantly looking.
Bruce Katcher, founder of Discovery Surveys, he says one-third of American workers are looking to change jobs. Number one reason, a perceived lack of respect from employers.
That's really all you can ask, and that's what most employees want. They want to be treated fairly and respectfully.
Katcher works for himself, he says, because his last boss gave him no respect. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Keith Richards says it was just a joke. The Rolling Stones 63-year-old guitarist told a British music magazine that he once snorted his late father's ashes with cocaine. On the Stones' website, Richards says the truth is that he planted an English oak and scattered the ashes around it. But the magazine interviewer says the remark about snorting the ashes was no quip. It came about after much thinking and a couple of questions. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Dealer takes two
and a glass of Corbett.
Canyon.
Corbett, it's been years.
It's gotten great reviews.
Yeah, and Corbett has this new twist-off closure, so every glass is perfect.
Incredible Cabernet.
And a Chardonnay for me.
Sure, still have Corbett's premium wine cask from our last game. After it's open, keeps wine fresh for 6 weeks.
Won't be here that long. Nothing beats this Cabernet or my Royal Flush.
Corbett Canyon. One great taste, two convenient choices. The new twist-off closure and the premium wine cask. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Josh Wolf is a free bird. And we didn't have to break in to get him out. But I was thinking about it.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it. So we're getting up and going down. Hide low, right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best. Move away, do you hear what I say? From under my breath.
Josh Wolf stood tall for the rights of journalists and paid a price for it. 7.5 months in federal custody. He's now a free man, and he joins us to kick off what we call every day the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Josh Wolf, congratulations. I'm glad you're no longer behind bars.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure that a jailbreak would make much sense when I voluntarily surrendered, though, but I appreciate the musical.
It's the best I had.
Of course.
I didn't have much about got out of jail by persuading the prosecutor.
Oh, you haven't heard that one? It was at Top 40 in 1955.
Oh, well, I'll have to go to the archives for that. So, Josh, first of all, tell us how you feel. You've been out about 24 hours now, and are you sleep-deprived and disoriented?
Yeah, it's become a psychological study on what happens with sleep deprivation following a rather strange ordeal.
Yeah. Well, how about if you give us a quick recap of the last few days and what led to your release?
All right. So, essentially, well, we should probably actually start in the middle of February, actually, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
In sometime after February, shortly after I appeared on Democracy Now, the day after, in fact, the judge ordered our case to mediation with the magistrate judge. And it's interesting that Democracy Now should happen to immediately precede that. I think that's actually telling.
Yeah, I'm glad some judges listened to Pacifica Radio.
Yeah, I mean, that's progressive.
Mm-hmm.
The next day he ordered us into mediation, and on March 8th was the first mediation session that we had, and it lasted about 4 hours, and it was me talking with the judge and my attorneys talking with the judge and myself talking with the attorney, all back and forth, while Magistrate Judge Sparrow goes back and forth between us and the U.S. attorneys, almost like you're buying a car or something.
Yeah.
So we came to a possible solution at that point, and this possible solution at that point was the U.S. attorneys can screen the tape in camera, but they don't get a cop. They don't leave with anything. They just get to see it.
Right.
And then if they decide that there's nothing of evidentiary value, then the subpoena would be dropped and I'd be set free, or they'd say I complied with the subpoena or whatever they were going to spin it as.
Okay.
And in many ways, that was a better solution than what we eventually decided to do, because that way they wouldn't have walked away with the unpublished tape. But at the same time, the public wouldn't know what was on the unpublished tape.
Mm-hmm.
And while your audience may feel that I had every right to never show the public what was on the tape, not every audience would feel that way.
Okay.
And so the public had the demand for this information. And there was nothing of any consequence on it, as best as I could determine during the year preceding my incarceration, of reviewing it and trying to decide how I was going to deal with this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, we later came to them over the course of the next month and came to the conclusion that the best thing to do would be to publish the video so the world can see it, and take on the role that the judge refused to do. See, we had asked the judge to be the arbiter of the tape and determine its evidentiary value, and he refused on several occasions.
I see.
So I put the power of the judge in the hands of the people, basically, and had them review, you know, anyone can go to my website and review the footage now.
Mm-hmm. And let me just give a little brief background. Summer of 2005, anti-war demonstration in the Mission District of San Francisco. And yesterday at this time, we were talking to Gabe Myers, who says that he knows you now as a result of this incident. And he was carrying a styrofoam protest sign. And as he tells the story, he was nearly run over by a San Francisco police squad car. And when he dashed to get out of the way, his styrofoam sign somehow went under the car and is linked to a fire that developed in that police car moments later. There were two officers in the car. One of them jumped out and dragged Gabe Myers down to the sidewalk, had a chokehold on him. And this apparently is a part of the scene that you videotaped. I've never seen your tape, so is that accurate?
It's mostly accurate. There's a few things that I saw differently than perhaps Gabe did, or than perhaps you drew from what Gabe said.
Yeah, go ahead, tell us.
One thing is that the San Francisco police car never caught fire in any way, shape, or form, as best as I can tell in looking at the police report. The police report has a box for damages to this police vehicle, and one of the boxes says burned. Now, if the police car had ever caught fire, wouldn't you check burned on the damage report?
I think so.
But it just says drivable and damaged, and then the extent of damage, it says right rear tail light, which is, you know, a fixed ticket when I have a busted right rear tail light,
right.
In a federal case.
Yeah.
But, you know, the SFPD said that their car is partly paid for. They get money from the feds, so the feds have a right to.
Well, I want to address that in a minute, because I think that's the most bogus part of this whole case.
Oh, I think that's more important than the journalist issues, to be completely frank with the audience. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It's weird to be in that position. But the federal, as you said, we'll move on to that later on, though.
Yeah. So, at the scene, you are videotaping. You're a journalist, a blogger, and yet you don't work for a mainstream or corporate outlet. And so that became an issue about whether you were covered by the California Reporters Shield Law.
No, it didn't become an issue of whether I was covered under the California Reporters Shield Law. It was actually never an issue in the legal case until after I had been placed into custody.
Interesting.
Because there is no federal shield law. This was a federal case and not a California case.
So how did it flip from the district attorney, Kamala Harris, in San Francisco, how did it wind up in the U.S. Attorney's Office as a federal case?
Well, one thing to point out is that Kamala Harris has already made a public statement to the regard that I shouldn't be in jail, and she made that while I was incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
So if the district attorney's on my side, then she probably would not have pushed for the material. She would have respected the California Shield Law,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't have had to have even hired any attorneys.
So who bigfooted her and went to Kevin Ryan, who was since sacked as the U.S. attorney?
The SFPD.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and I don't want to open myself to up any libel, and I don't know the information for a fact, but I've been told that it had something to do with the Gay Lesbian Rights Union, or the Gay Lesbian Union of the police department.
Hmm. Was the officer who was injured a member of that group?
Yeah, the officer the unit was injured is, and that's why they decided to push it forward, that I guess. And again, I don't want to put words in their mm-hmm. mouth or open myself to any.
Okay, but I appreciate you bringing that up because it's the first I have heard of that. Peter Shields is the officer who was driving the car, and after his companion jumped out and grabbed Gabe Myers, he somehow was surrounded by a mob, and somebody hit him on the back of the head, and his skull was fractured. So that was what drove this whole case, an injured police officer.
Right, and Peter Shields, it is Peter Shields, right?
That's right.
Peter Shields' own police testimony when he was pursuing the investigation,
mm-hmm.
what he said happened is quite interesting from a police brutality perspective. Clearly, if you look at the video, Gabe was possibly under police brutality. In my mind, I think it is legally, but I'm not going I'm not involved in that side of the case in any way.
I understand.
To me, it seems like personal police brutality, or should be.
Mm-hmm.
But what Officer Shields was doing, according to him, was while striking the protester that was resisting arrest as I came up from him from behind, I was hit in the back of the head. So while he was striking with his baton, someone hit him. And so I'm not trying to qualify what happened in any way, shape, or form, but he perhaps should not have been striking the man with the baton in the first place.
Yeah. Mildly put. Thank you. We're talking with Josh Wolf here on the Peter B. Collins Show. So you had this videotape, and what made you decide that it was worth spending time in jail to prevent it from being delivered to the prosecutors?
Well, that's a tricky question, because the subpoena was not for the tape. It was for the tape and my testimony before the federal grand jury, which is, in essence, is a secret court akin to a military tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get your attorney in the grand jury room. There's no judge. And there's no public record. So that was the most egregious assault on my rights as a journalist and a citizen, is this idea of being forced to testify in a secret court where I can't verify to the public what I said and didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there's every reason to believe that this was, in essence, a McCarthyist witch hunt. That basically what would happen is I'd go if I were to have cooperated, is I would have gone in there with the DVD, put it on there. As every new person entered the frame, they'd say, do you know this person? Have you talked to this person before? What's this person's name? Where do they live? And every name of the person that was identified would then be called in.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd repeat the same thing.
All right, Josh, let me pause there. We have to take a break, and we'll come back and get the rest of your story as we continue. We're talking with Josh Wolf, who spent 7.5 months in a federal lockup defending our rights. I really appreciate what he did. We'll get more of the story in a moment, and we'll open up the phones in the free speech zone on the half hour at 888-5-PETER-B. 18 minutes after the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the latest. And let's start off with a problem. This one just coming in. This is in SoCal. No, excuse me. Let's go to Opal Cliffs. East Cliff Drive at 34th. We have an SUV partially blocking the roadway there. Then we talk about SoCal because North Rodale Gulch at Chardonnay. We have a car that hit a telephone pole, and we have fire crews there. They are on scene, possibly PG&E as well. And the southbound lane is completely blocked at this point. Also want to mention that we are working on a problem in Live Oak. This is 17th Avenue at Brommer. It's a vehicle that hit a bicyclist. No injuries. That's the good news. And CHP is on scene. Greenfield, northbound 101 after thrown. A stalled pickup truck is in the center divide area. Baseball is here. Watch every pitch in crisp, clear Panasonic motion. Panasonic Plasma. For the speed of sports, get $200 installation repay on your Panasonic Plasma TV.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with a man who spent 7.5 months in jail defending the rights of reporters and our First Amendment. And he's no Judy Miller.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The
Michael Franti and Spearhead, it's called Yell Fire. Josh Wolf is with us. He's been free just a little over 24 hours now. And if you'd like to see the videotape that he went to jail to defend, joshwolf.net/blog is the website where you can find it. Now, Josh, we had to interrupt you for that commercial break there, and you were starting to tell us about the scenario you feared that would develop if you coughed up the video originally. And that was this process there where they were going to try to get you to name anybody who was found on screen. And you thought it would lead to a kind of unconstitutional fishing expedition. Is that the right idea?
Fishing expedition is probably a euphemism. That Spearhead track brought back memories because about a week before I went back to prison, I was briefly let out on bail.
Right, I remember.
I made it to the Power to the Peaceful concert.
Oh, good.
And it was the it was two days after I was released from jail.
Mm-hmm.
And as I waited to see if I was granted bail, I was like, I hope I make it to that concert. I've been looking forward to it all year. So
yeah, they're a great band, and Michael Franti is an amazing frontman, a very smart guy.
So we were talking about how it seemed like a witch hunt, and it seemed like there's probably one additional question that everyone would be asked, and that's, are you now or have you ever been an anarchist? Because it was an anarchist demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess black is the new red.
Yeah. Well, and I defend your right to be an anarchist or any variation of political thought you want to embrace. That's what this country and our Constitution protects.
Exactly.
All right. So as this initially developed, I can imagine that you never expected that this would take on the dimensions it did.
No, not hardly. I had a feeling I was probably going to jail once they brought contempt charges against me, especially because they brought contempt charges against me the day after they threw Greg Anderson in jail on contempt.
That's
for
the
refusing
Balco
to testify against Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And so the fact that and we have the same judge, and as I learned when I got there and talked to Greg, the same U.S. attorney, although I guess he's got a few on his case.
Mm-hmm.
And so Greg goes to jail, and I'm like, I'm going to jail. They'll probably just do it for maybe a day, you know, 24 hours to show that, you know, you can't just shirk a grand jury subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out to be about 225 times over that.
Yeah. And at what point did you invite the mediation that occurred as a way to break the deadlock, or was this something you didn't ask for? You just said, well, this is the best I'm going to get.
We did not ask for the mediation at all.
Mm-hmm.
In November, after we had lost the appeals, or as we were about, when we thought we were going to lose the NBank appeal of the Ninth Circuit, one of my attorneys, Martin Garbus, contacted the assistant U.S. attorney and tried to figure out whether or not they would be willing to have me turn over the videotape in lieu of not having to identify civil dissidents for whatever government purpose the U.S. attorney had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. attorney said, no, absolutely not. We need the complete follow-through of this subpoena. There is no compromise. And I'm like, well, I was more than willing to fight for the tape and go to jail to protect it. I didn't particularly want to stay in jail over a videotape that has nothing on it.
Yeah.
And suddenly they become part and parcel. And I'm like, well, can't I just publish the tape anyhow to kind of gain public support that they'll see there's nothing on it? And they're like, well, it took 3 months and you published the video. This shows you're being coerced, and if we hold you another 6 months, then we'll get the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trapped at that point. I couldn't publish the tape, and there was all these people thinking that the only reason I would be in jail for a tape is because I did capture the subject of the investigation.
Josh, I just have about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
What is your view of the fascist machinery that you had to deal with here and confront?
It's a frightening thing. All the people I met have frightening stories, and that's why I started prisonblogs.net, to get prisoners blogging to show their view of the inside, where camera crews can't go and their word can't get out.
Yeah. Josh, thank you for your steadfastness and your courage in this case.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I'll be tuning it in on the internet to hear the rest of it.
Real good. JoshWolf.net/blog says the revolution will be televised. Thank you, Josh.
You will not be able
thank
to
you.
Stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' 3 generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be.
Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We support free speech rights here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're into the free speech zone now. Your calls and comments are welcome. You want to talk about Josh Wolf and his courageous stand against the federal government? Give me a call. You want to talk about Martin Luther King's historic comments 40 years ago today when he made his first public statements against the Vietnam War and took a lot of flack for it? My lines are open for you right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You might also want to comment on Senator Aberesk's remarks about Pelosi's visit to Damascus, which drew a sharp comment from the president yesterday. And also Brent Badowski, who defines himself as a Sam Nunn Democrat. He says he thinks that the Pelosi-Reid strategy is working and is putting a big squeeze on the president. You agree? Or do you think that he's missing the point here? As I've suggested, I fear that this strategy will not work on a numbnut like Bush and a Neanderthal like Cheney, and that ultimately the Democrats may end up being painted as the party that cut off funds for the troops. And if that's the case, let's go directly to that stage, stop these intermediates, and also refute the point that money for the war is somehow for the troops. The money for the war mostly goes to Pentagon contractors, including the dark side, like Blackwater, Khaki, and the others, who are essentially just mercenaries. And we also know that the president is lying about the urgency of this bill. He's claiming that, if he doesn't have a bill by mid-May, that negative repercussions will affect the troops and their families. Well, that's a cynical threat being used by this president, because it's very clear that the Pentagon is awash in money, and they can shift bucks around from one account to another and keep the war in Iraq funded for the foreseeable future, at least until mid-July, if not much further. And if they were actually doing what the American people wanted, as Dennis Kucinich has pointed out, there's enough money in that pipeline to bring every soldier home from Iraq. So don't try to mislead us with this BS. The Democrats want to hurt the troops. My fear is that these tactics that they're using will ultimately bounce back on them, and that the president will have a rhetorical advantage. I hope that's not the case, but I fear that it could happen. We go to your calls now at 888-5-PETER-B. Cindy from Monterey, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
This is America calling.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, Pelosi, better a broker for peace than an arms broker.
I'll go for that.
It's preposterous to think that we can't be civilized human beings in the 21st century and that we resort to the deliberate cruelty of torture as a means to spread freedom. That is the most sickening thing probably in my lifetime.
It is. And it's so un-American, and I want to be proud of my country and my citizenship. And this makes that so much more difficult.
You know, it's like the dungeon, the medieval dungeons. It's so ludicrous. So we need to support efforts at communication and deliberation. And we need to become conscious and have a consensus in this country that torture is nothing but a pathological form of violence that is a deliberate and cruel, ostentatious lie, a vicious, horrible lie that it serves a moral purpose.
Not only that, Cindy, I agree with your point, but it is barbaric and it reduces us to the level of our so-called enemies.
Well, we worship the neon god of the television.
Well, we're
soaked in blood and fear now.
But Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo will give a whole new generation of anti-Americans, many of whom will be radical Muslims, but not exclusively. It's going to give them a cause, a reason to hate the United States, and that will do more damage and cause more violence against the U.S. than, so many of our other responses.
And the only thing that makes progress or prospers is the science of weaponry and killing. Okay, Peter.
All right, Cindy. Thank you very much. Now to Laird in Eureka. Laird, you're on the air. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, first of all, thanks a lot for that little flashback on the break. That piece was played a lot during the riots in Los Angeles.
Yeah. You're talking about Gil Scott-Heron, the revolution
right.
will not be
the
televised.
Revolution will not be televised,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I referenced it because if you go to the Josh Wolf website, joshwolf.net, his header reads, "The revolution will be televised."
Ah, okay. All right, well, I've called about this before. The basic thesis, Bush doesn't want out. But as it's gone on, more and more things have become apparent to me. Virtually everything he does says he doesn't want this to end. This is the reason he doesn't want other people making overtures towards Syria or Iran. He doesn't want talks. He doesn't want out. This is the reason that they continually fix the elections, because they need to keep control to stay. And the big thing that tells me this is what Bush himself says or doesn't say. He has never really stated that he wants the troops home. He gives these little whatever superlative stand up, stand down baloney stuff.
Well, you know, we haven't heard some of those pet phrases. How long has it been since you've heard, "We're fighting them there so we don't have to fight them here"?
True.
And how long has it been since you've heard, "We'll stand down when they stand up"?
I think that there is a possibility that this pressure is starting to take an effect. But it's still important to realize that the plan from the beginning was to occupy, as opposed to whatever they said. And that we need to deal with it on that level.
Laird, let me challenge that for a moment.
Okay.
Because they were so ill-prepared for the occupation. And we've seen the litany of mistakes that we know about, the de-bathification, the disbanding of the army, most of the things that Paul Bremer imposed when he was the overlord of the occupation are deep, deep blunders. And Rumsfeld made it pretty clear by the way he operated in Afghanistan that he thought this was a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, that we would be out of Iraq in for the most part. We'd have a small residual force there 6 months after the invasion in March of 2003. So I don't quite agree with you, because if they had planned to occupy, wouldn't they have planned the occupation better?
I don't think they could have planned it any better than it went. They did everything wrong. That's your own thesis. And I agree, they did everything wrong. They pissed people off. They Abu Ghraib was intended to demean and humiliate. The whole thing with Bremer was to try and get a foot in with privatization. I think that they've done exactly what they intended to do. I don't think that this administration is that stupid. I think that they're pretty darn smart, and that they have planned this all along, and that everything bad that's gone their way is just good fortune for them.
Well, Laird, the one thing that argues very strenuously on your behalf is the price of crude oil and the price of gasoline. And the effect of the war in Iraq has been to make much more valuable the other supplies of crude oil in the world, mostly controlled by American-based multinationals. And that part of the occupation, and I have to give Greg Palast credit for advancing this theory, because so many people said, "Oh, this was a war for oil." And Pallast, in his most recent book, said, wait a minute, it was for oil, but it wasn't about getting Iraq's oil for the United States or for our corporate pals. It was about keeping that oil off the market to drive up the price so that even Texas crude is worth pumping these days.
Okay. And yeah, I agree. In fact, well, what are they going to do with these 14 bases that they're building? You know, the green zone. It's no coincidence that they have started their surge in the green zone area. That's the one area of the country that we want to protect the most. We don't care about the Iraqis. We don't care about the deaths in the outer areas. I don't want to sound like conspiracy, so I'm going to quit. But
all right, but Laird, I appreciate your call. I think you're thoughtful, and I think you present some very interesting ideas. So call me again.
All right.
All right, that's the deal. Peter V. in Salinas today. Hello, Peter. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Oh, there you go again.
I know that. Well, Peter, I'm, again, spending my time in Webster's, and I'm looking into mendacious. And under mendacious, it has a person who's habitually dishonest, lying, telling lies. And then for synonyms, it says C. Bush administration.
And what's the noun version of mendacious? Is there a form? Someone
yes,
who is
mendacity.
Mendacity.
The quality of being a Republican member in the Bush administration. An insistence on lying.
Well, a mendicant is a beggar, right? Somebody who's asking for money. So I'm just trying to come up with the label of a mendacious person, but mendicant wouldn't be the right form.
Let me look under Karl Rove just a moment. Oh, now, wait. Now, Peter, my favorite whopper that was told, as you were pointing out earlier, and I'll give you the quote, Congress's failure to fund our troops on the front lines will mean that some of our military families could wait longer for their loved ones to return from the front lines, and others could see their loved ones headed back to the war sooner than they need to, end quote. President Bush, today speaking in the Rose Garden.
What a crock. What a total cynical crock. It's all under his control.
Yes.
He's the one responsible for the very descriptions that he offered, trying to blame on the Democrats. And this is page one, chapter one of Tom DeLay's playbook. Whatever we are, we say they are, and it works.
You're spot on, Peter, as usual. And again, I want to thank you for playing Martin Luther King to open your show today. The irony of it being as relevant today as it was 40 years ago, it was heart-wrenching, Peter, and I thank you for bringing that to your audience.
Well, I'm glad we could, and the question I asked before I started playing it still lingers. Where is that force today? Where is the equivalent of Martin Luther King Jr. in this picture?
I think it comes on every day between 3 and 6 o'clock right on this station, the Collins Show.
I'm sorry, your humble host must reject that. I'm certainly not at that level, but thank you.
I insist, Peter. Thank you.
All right, that's Peter, and he always calls me Mr. I hate that. 888-5 Peter B. He's very funny, though. Those were great lines. In fact, I'd like to suggest that we nominate Peter B. for a writer post on Bill Maher's show on HBO. Nobody's on the line right now. We're going to take a break, and I want you to change that. I want you to call up, and I have a comment to fuel that. To me, the quote of the day is from Dan Hurst. He's president of the Committee to Bridge the Gap, a California-based anti-nuclear or nuclear watchdog group. And this is in response to an assemblyman named DeVore from Southern California, who is ready to propose legislation to build a new nuclear power plant in Fresno. And Dan Hurst put it this way, succinctly, powerfully. These are people, and he's referring to these pro-nuke types, who are trying to now get on the global warming bandwagon to say that nuclear power plants don't contribute to the ozone effect, to greenhouse gases, because they don't put off CO2. No, what they produce is nuclear waste that lasts for centuries, that we have no method of properly storing or recycling. So here's Dan Hurst's quote. These are people who've been on the dark side on everything and are now callously trying to drown us in radioactive waste. If you think that California should embark on a new program of constructing nuclear power plants starting in Fresno, I want to hear from you. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. And if you're a Guinness, I want to hear from you too. 888-5-PETER-B, it's 888-573-8372. And I'm your humble host, no MLK. They call me Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at traffic, our last traffic report of the evening. And we are going to mention that we have a, believe it or not, Greenfield northbound on 101. They're saying this is after Thorn, a stalled pickup truck in the Center Divide area. In the Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17 southbound, just after the summit, we have a couple of vehicles, or actually several vehicles, that are swerving to avoid a large piece of plastic in the lanes. That darn pesky plastic. Say that quickly. Other than that, Santa Cruz, we're going to take a look at the on-ramps, some road construction, Highway 1 southbound to the Morrison on-ramp, the on- and off-ramp, shut down 24 hours a day for road work that is scheduled through May 1st. This report brought to you by Panasonic Plasma Televisions. Baseball is here. Watch every pitch in crisp-clear Panasonic motion. Panasonic Plasma. For the speed of sports, get $200 installation rebate on your Panasonic Plasma Television.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, monitored daily by the National Security Agency. For your safety. David and Don Was, the Was brothers. Their actual surname is something different, but they were dying to get out of Detroit. They put a band together called Was Not Was. And I played a round of bad golf once with David Was. He was much better than I am. And he also has a sense of rhythm, which separates him from me. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by the estimable Katrina Rill. If you have suggestions on topics or guests that you'd like to hear on this program, drop her an email, katrina@peterbcollins.com. And if you have secret complaints about your humble host, tell them to her, and she'll just shred them. 888-5-PETER-B. I've got room for another caller or two if you want to express your free speech rights here on the program today. And next up on line one, it's Jack in Eureka. Hello, Jack.
How are you?
I'm okay.
So I'm coming right into your broadcast, not knowing exactly where you're at, so I don't want to interrupt the flow of that.
There is no flow, so there's okay. No risk of interrupting it.
Okay. Well, I totally appreciate folks like you who attempt to make some difference out there. I mean, there's you folks that do that kind of work, and then there's folks like myself and a number of ways of doing this. I'm an activist and an organizer in the Eureka area, have been here for years, a part of the Earth Forest Movement to save the trees, which, you know, comes right down to climate change. But I'm calling in because, you know, of attempting to comment on building a movement, which is so important.
Yeah.
And when we bring people out to the street, what we're trying to say, you know, it's great to focus them on government, you know, which is, you know, right there, not doing their job, and, you know, attempt to find a way to speak to them in the way that they might begin to understand that they're too conflicted and too compromised, too corrupted to do their job. But that's up for everybody to see for themselves as it goes forward. And it's not for me to say, you know, that's, you know, you've got to believe what I believe. But if we don't come to that level of consciousness over a period of time, a shorter period of time, we waste more lives, essentially, because by going forward with the Iraq-Iran thing as it is, and assuming that it's all right to fight in a situation where the fighting spirit is not what we need now. I just allowing you to jump in there. Because
No. I want you to complete your thought. I understand what you're saying, and we do have very challenging situations that we're facing right now. And what I'm looking for, and what I attempt to do with this program, is to empower people and to engage people with ideas and with hopefully a sense of inspiration. To take these issues on and not just go passive and say, gosh, you know, I really would like this war to be over, but nobody's going to listen to me. Well, I really appreciate your friends and neighbors who have taken the time to go visit Mike Thompson's office and set a spell there and try to get his attention to explain to him that while he thinks he's on the right track, that his constituents believe that there's much more that he could do and that he should avail himself of knowledge of, say, Barbara Lee's bill to get us out of Iraq.
Right.
And he shouldn't casually dismiss the concerns that I expressed in our interview a few weeks ago about the risk of a war with Iran and the lack of rational thinking in the White House, because he tossed it off and said, well, nothing's going to happen because we don't really have the troops to pull it off. Well, that hasn't stopped them from the invasion and occupation of Iraq, and I don't believe they consider it a major impediment to their intentions toward Iran.
Yeah, it's so interesting to be part of a movement. My whole life, I'm 75 now, but I don't feel 75 because it keeps me young to have to deal with such a thing that doesn't go away. But my whole life has been based upon living this tragedy of fighting others and killing others, which I was not for. So, of course, I'm in the nonviolent civil disobedient movement, which is saying the only way we can cauterize the violence in the psyche is to show you another way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not another way by not assuming that, well, if it was a mistake to get us there, then why are we still fighting? Why the fighting spirit? It's one thing to be a warrior in a warrior situation, which I'm always not for at all, but it's another thing to say, oh, that's what the regime
told us to believe, and we're still going on believing that.
Yeah. Well, just fundamentally, we should change the name of the Pentagon from Defense to the War Department, because that's really what it has reverted to.
Yes.
And I believe
getting a peace movement together.
I believe in a Defense Department, but given the way this administration has operated, we should call it the War Department, and we should have a Peace Department.
Absolutely.
To work the other side of the street. Jack, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
One more thing. Is that all right?
If you go quickly. Yep.
Yes. We're kicking off our impeachment movement here soon, and to join the rest of the country in numbers of places that are doing the same.
Okay, great. Right. Jack, thank you very much. Appreciate your activism. Jimmy, you get the final word. You're calling from Davis tonight.
Hi there, Peter.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to add a thing about the Committee for the Bridge of...
Committee to Bridge the Gap.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There were several months ago that they proposed to putting up a I-beam-like structure with a net over the nuclear power reactors in order to help protect them from attack.
Uh-huh.
And it's really important to realize that has been more or less bypassed, and so that the security of our nuclear power plants has not been increased to anywhere it should be.
Okay, can you call me again and we'll talk about this? I'm just flat out of time, and I appreciate your intervention here today. I'm Peter B. Collins. Join me again tomorrow right here, same time, same station.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I'm glad that 15 service personnel have been released.
They're not home yet, but they're expected to be on a flight out of Tehran in the morning, and British Prime Minister Tony Blair says this vindicates his handling of the crisis.
Throughout, we have taken a measured approach, firm but calm, not negotiating but not confronting either.
Iran's president announced his decision to free the sailors in a splashy public ceremony.
Ever the showman, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad milked today's event for all it was worth. First, he awarded medals to the Revolutionary Guards, the Iranian heroes who had captured the sailors. Then, after a long, rambling speech, he stunned the world. The 15 captives would be freed, he said, as an Easter gift to the British people.
CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer, all the sailors were given fresh haircuts and new clothes for the occasion. Australian David Hicks, who was captured in Afghanistan, will spend less than a year in prison after pleading guilty to aiding terrorists. That got the attention of lawyers for John Walker Lynn, the so-called American Taliban, who got 20 years after pleading guilty to lesser offenses. Attorney James Brosnahan is asking President Bush to commute the sentence.
It is very simple. It is a question of proportionality. It is a question of fairness.
Lind is 26 now. His father says he was wrongly accused when he was found in Afghanistan. President Bush at a military training facility in the Mojave Desert today defended his strategy in Iraq.
I'm Mark Knoller at Fort Irwin, California.
I've been waiting all day to say hoo-ah.
Addressing U.S. troops at this Army training center, President Bush concedes that Americans are weary of the war in Iraq, but he cast it in the starkest terms to date.
You know, it's not a civil war, it is pure evil. And I believe we have an obligation to protect ourselves from that evil.
And to that end, he again pleaded with Congress to send him a funding bill for the war without a timeline for withdrawal.
After a private fundraiser in L.A., Mr. Bush will spend Easter weekend at his Texas ranch. Barack Obama shows he can bring in the bucks to mount a credible campaign. In the first quarter, Obama raised $25 million.
CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borgia says that's almost as much as Hillary Clinton brought in by tapping her network of wealthy donors.
He's got his own establishment.